Welcome back to the Leadership Podcast. So this is the episode I promised you that we would have. I am joined by, I don't even know how to introduce you. This is Ty Bean. You've been to our church, so people may know you if you're watching from our church.
I love your church. It's an amazing church. It really is. Jody is one of my favorites, and you too.
Thank you.
That was my first time to stay in Louisiana when I came down with you guys. Yeah. Yeah, I got the crawfish experience, and y'all were so kind, and that was fun. That was a cool experience.
I remember about you, you made me stand on a ladder.
Yes, it was the who's holding your ladder?
That's right.
That's a great leadership talk right there.
It is. So we're going to talk about some leadership. We're here at the Young Pro Camp in Steamville, Texas, and so there is some roping going on back there.
Coleman Proctor's back there. Patrick Smith's back there coaching the kids.
Ryan Motes.
Yeah.
So we got some good things going on back there. So if you hear it, they're dragging a roping dummy around. Yeah. So we want to be as natural possible. So I asked Ty to join me on this podcast because he is somebody that I look to for as a leader, as a true leader. We talk about leadership all the time on the phone. So what's your first thoughts about if someone says, Ty, what makes you a leader? I just opened it.
Yeah, everybody is a leader. That's the first thing that comes to mind. And the reason why you would say, well, that's a real basic answer. No, it's one of the most overlooked answers because there's some people who immediately recognize their leadership potential, and there's others who just seem to always, it's like, I don't know if I think I'm meant to be a follower. But what I'm telling you is in some form or fashion, some way, you're going to be asked to be a leader at some point in your life. Whether it's leading your family, whether it's leading in your church, as far as a group, home group, small group, something. But if you push every one of those away, the reason it qualifies every one of us to be a leader is the first person you have to learn how to lead is yourself. Everyone has got to learn how to lead themselves. And if you can't be a good leader of yourself, you can't be a good follower of the people that God puts in your life.
That's right. Man, I love that you said that because that goes right along. Last semester, we really talked about leading yourself before you lead others.
Yeah.
Waking up early, just some little tips. Mm. I know you're a big CrossFit guy. Are you still a CrossFit guy?
Love it.
And so that's one of the things you discipline your body, like an athlete, training it to do what it should.
4:45 every morning.
Every morning.
Yeah.
Man. See, I just got through preaching to the kids, to the students because they're college.
Oh, yeah, these guys?
Yeah, these guys. And I told them, I said, I work out 3 days a week at 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, whoa. So I'm glad you didn't say 4:45 to them. Or did you?
No, I didn't say anything.
Because they think I'm so awesome now that I work out at 5:30.
That's good. I think that you are awesome.
Well,
that's
great.
Thank you.
I'm not on the CrossFit train yet, but maybe one day.
Hey, it is for some and it's not for others.
That's right. So we were talking on the phone last week and you mentioned this one concept about how do you know if you're winning?
Yes.
And I thought that's a great thing as, if you're watching and you're a boss, you're a manager. I know some bankers watch this as well, and you're leading teams. How do you know if you're actually winning? So let's just dive into it.
Let's assume some things first. Let's assume that I'm talking to people who are stirring up the gift of leadership inside of them.
Right.
Let's also assume that I'm talking to people who have been very successful being leaders, okay? You might could come to me and say, hey, I don't need to listen to this because I've made a ton of money or I pastor a big church. And whatever scenario you come from, I am a pastor at Cowboy Junction Church in Hobbs, New Mexico. And so if I use some church terminology, just kind of interpret it into business terminology. I love that kind of stuff. But I'm successful, okay? I've seen my church grow, and the first thing that I can tend to do is get mud on the tires, and things start slowing down, but I've been successful, so I consider myself a good leader. And one of the things that a leader has to always do, and this is what the people that are serving him or her, or following him or her, or willing to go where him and her, the leader is wanting to go, is they're screaming, we'd like to know what a win is.
Right.
And a lot of times that's the thing that can get cloudy, because if you pull your staff in and you have, let's say you have 50 in your staff, and you were to ask them, what's a win in our organization? You might get 50 answers. You might get 25 answers of these, but it boils down to two answers. You might get the most, what I'm trying to get at here is what is a win? Because here's what I can't stand. I've played on those teams before that we didn't know if we were winning or not. And I get bored.
Right.
And if you ask the question, are we winning? They look at you funny. And they go, of course we're winning. And you, so that comes the next question. And they say, what are your hands up again for? Because I got another question. What are we doing that's winning? And in a leader's mind, it's like, look around us. We didn't have people coming to our church before. Look around us. We didn't have a building before. Look around us. We've got more kids, or we've got kids in our kids' church. But it still doesn't answer the question. And what I've found is in a leadership role, if we can identify what a win is, we can start celebrating a win.
Oh, that's good.
And if we can start celebrating a win, you begin to notice that what you celebrate gets repeated.
Right.
And now everybody knows exactly what a win is. And it seems so basic, but it is the pitfall that I see in a lot of organizations that have been successful. They're not as successful as they once were. And it can be just easily tweaked as, have we defined a win lately?
Wow. So in your organization, because there are a lot of pastors who listen to this,
yeah,
what is a couple of wins that you feel for your church?
Yeah.
Do you have?
Of course, yeah.
So what's the main win?
Okay, so let me back story real quick. Is there's a lot of wins you can come up with.
Right.
Like Sundays are a big deal for us. That Super Bowl Sunday is what we call Sundays. Every weekend is Super Bowl worthy. I mean, it's that big a deal. And we show up and we end Sunday and we turn around and look. And what's some of the first things you think you do after you look at a Sunday to see if it's a win or not? You see how many people were there?
Attendance.
If the attendance was low, you're a little depressed, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, everybody can walk around a little depressed. Let's say that the nursery workers, they were supposed to be there at 8 and they called at 8:05 and said they weren't going to be there. And so now you're in a mad rush to get people, or somebody forgot to be there.
Right.
You're a little depressed. And here's in one, and this may make people cringe, but you do look at the offering, because if you don't have a successful offering, you can't turn the lights on, you can't pay salaries. And so you tend to look at the offering. And let me tell you, leaders, whatever you focus on, other people will start consider that the win. So if you end Sunday and you turn and you go, hey, we had X amount of people here. When they hear you say that over and over again, your people will start identifying that with, well, that must be a win.
Right.
Hey, the offering was X amount of dollars this weekend. And they go, ooh, he got excited. That must be a win. And before long, we have these ghost wins that float around.
Right.
But we aren't winning. And so hard conversation produce great answers.
Right.
We sit down often as a staff and we organize, we structure, we ask tough questions. Tension is welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Tension is one of those things that is not fun. You can be polite and tense at the same time. And tension always brings out great questions.
Right.
What's a win? And then you go, okay, we're in the people business. If we are not leading people to Jesus,
are we winning?
Are we winning?
Right.
Okay. But then somebody else raises their hand and says, okay, last year we had 300 salvations. That's incredible. Well, that's not my question. My question is, what happened to them? And all of a sudden a pastor's heart goes, we had 300 people raise their hand. And then someone goes, what happened to them? And you go, oh, I stink as a leader. I'm the worst leader ever.
Yeah.
And no, you shouldn't feel that way. What you just did is you asked a tense question that produces a great question, a great answer.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is our story. We pushed as a church to start believing for X amount of salvations, okay? And as December rolled around, we went over that number.
Oh, wow.
We had over the number that we were having our church pray about. And then someone asked the question, where are they? I didn't want to hear that. But that question made us turn around as a staff and say, okay, we've got to contact them. We got to put a Bible in their hand. We've got to get their information. what if, then the what if question is beginning, what if we put a CD in their hand, was a 15-minute audio that you, as soon as they get in their car from accepting Christ as their Savior, they pop it in the CD, and it's something that they listen to, and it reminds them, because how many of you know, that is such an emotional, fast-paced right. moment. It's like you can barely raise your hand,
right.
but your heart's beating out of your chest, and then you meet the pastor in the corner, and he prays with you, and he gives you a Bible, and by the time it's all done, it's like your wedding vows. You can't remember anything you said. Okay, so we begin to walk through this. What if we put a CD in their hand to where every morning they wake up, they can pop this in. Every time they go home from work, they can pop it in the CD, reminding them of what they just did, the decision. The juices began to flow. Right. We built this huge Jesus board. It's monstrous, and it's got little outlets on it where you screw a light bulb in. It's got 600 outlets on it. When we get through giving wow. you all the information, we say there's one more thing we want to do. And this is our celebration moment. Someone thought this would be the coolest little idea. And we say, would you come with us? And we come with them, we hand them a light bulb that doesn't work. And we say, this is the story of you before accepting Christ as your Savior.
Wow.
Now, we would like for you to screw the light bulb in, and it comes on. But there's already hundreds of light bulbs lit up on the Jesus light. Yeah. And we explain to them, these are people who this year accepted Christ as their Savior.
Wow.
And every time you come back into our church, your light bulb will be right here. Anytime the devil just attacks you,
right.
you can come walk into this church and see, there's my light bulb. I remember the day. And when the moment that they screw it in, we take a picture of them, we put it on Instagram, but we begin to celebrate it. Now, here's what happened. Before this, we had X amount of salvations, and it was a huge amount. Our church was praying for it. That number got cut in half.
Wow.
Well, like, let's say it was 400 salvations. The next year, by doing all this, it began to be 200 salvations. Now, you could get depressed, except that we didn't, because we knew what a win was.
Yeah.
And the win was, we put a Bible in their hand. We got to pray with them. We got their information. They got a phone call. They got to do the Jesus sign. We got to put a CD in their hand.
Right.
200 contacts
wow.
are a whole lot better than 400 complete misses.
Right. What I love about it is it started by asking the right questions.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I believe the questions get you to what the win is.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of, it's the, you know, you're digging, yeah. digging until you get to the heart of it. And it sounds like, you know, for that is what truly a disciple is. Is it just raising your hand, or is it the full commitment? And so by asking those right questions, mm-hmm. you know, something I call it is the four B's.
Okay.
That's what most churches know that if they're winning, which are butts, you know, okay. butts in the seat.
Butts in the seat.
Budget offering.
Okay, yeah.
Buildings.
Okay, yeah.
And then buzz.
Oh, yeah.
Is the town talking? Is there yeah. buzz going on? Is the marketing growing?
Yeah.
And whenever you focus on those four things, it's hard not to, because those are measurable.
Yeah.
That's like hitting you in the face.
Yeah.
Well, what I found is those four B's lead me to compare. Lead mm-hmm. me to compare, how am I doing with you? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, I start focusing, well, if there's buzz, is there marketing? Are we reaching the culture? And then all of a sudden, maybe I start tweaking our wins based on the culture instead of tweaking it based on what God is telling us to do in our church.
Yeah, and that's where we start. When you start taking wins serious, you start looking at what is the most important. And when it really boils down to it, there's some things that are very important, but they're still not the most important.
Right.
And you need to measure both. And as you build systems and as you hire people to help you recognize where you are, these things help you have conversations with the right people. Hey guys, I notice we've seen a dip in the kids church department, and it's a great conversation to have. All of these things lead to great other great conversations, but there's some people who don't, questions tense them out.
Right.
And
yeah,
on the personality chart, change stresses people out. We've had to learn how to adopt a language in our church to where, are we making a decision or are we still discussing it? And a lot of times I'm still discussing and haven't made a decision, but to all the people that are grinders in the room, they think we've made a decision, and we have to back up, and we have to go back to, okay, at what point do we pull the trigger? So all these things are tense. Mm-hmm. I crave it. Oh,
yeah.
I crave it. But there are some that think it's a little stressful. But in time, everybody sees the value of it. But you have to know
right.
what are your wins.
And I think it's even important to know what your wins are in your family.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's so easy to coast in life.
Yeah.
And one thing we know, if you're not intentional about growth, if you're not intentional about leading yourself, things seem to lead to more chaotic circumstances. So if I'm not purposeful on raising my kids or leading my family, it's just going to go to and fro.
You can say yes to everything. But if you say yes to everything, you're not going to have good yeses for the main things,
right?
For the wins. And when a family does sit down and weigh out the wins, what is a win for our family? Then kids get sharper. Yep. I mean, honestly, we don't want mom burning out, carrying everybody's weight. What's a win? Losing mom? No. Losing mom is not a win, okay? Dad having to pick up the pieces when he gets home. Is that a win? We could probably do better. These are great conversations for kids, and they're smart.
Right. And I think sitting down as a family and creating those wins and creating those values and asking the questions, and because again, we know that most people live in debt, chasing the Jones, keeping up with the Jones. And I think having wins for your family, because if we're not healthy personally as leaders in our home, it's hard to have our business. I mean, how many people have thriving businesses, but their home life's a wreck? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, I think it's the movie called Keeping Up with the Joneses, and I know it's a comedy. I think Demi Moore's in it, and the guy from X-Files.
Really?
Yeah, and they're trying to keep they get paid by advertiser to live this life. Well, their next-door neighbors try to keep up with them, and the guy just goes into debt, and he winds up committing suicide because he can't keep
up
with
it.
It hit me hard. I mean, it was a real deal. Like, how that's such our society now. It's how people are. It's going, I got to keep up with you even if I'm going to kill myself. I got to have an appearance. And so, again, but his business was thriving, but his home life was a wreck. And so I think as leaders, it's important to lead ourselves by making sure the most important things are the most important things.
Yeah. That's good.
Because if you're not thriving at home, you're going to take that into your business. You're going to take that into your church even. I mean, how many pastors are burned out?
Well, very much so. And how many churches have plateaued, and how many staff members just feel like that there's so much more to their life than what they're doing, but they always go back to, is there a greater
right.
purpose in life than fulfilling God's calling on your life? And some people do it through business, some people do it through their family, some people actually do it as staff members in a church, right. pastors in a church. And they don't want to quit, but they don't feel purpose anymore. And they don't know if they're winning.
Right.
And yet, if you ever raise up that question, it's like, you work for a church. How can you not think you're winning? And it's like, well, I don't sense the presence of God in anything we do. And I feel bad about even saying it. And the fact is that these are questions that are easily answered. But for me, it's going back to, do we know what a win is?
Right. I think it's important to find it, because if you're a leader, you have a team of people following you.
Yeah. I don't think you can stop with salvations.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's how do you lead your volunteer crew? What is a win with your volunteer crew? Great question is, what is a win when it comes to your 1 to 2 year olds? Mm-hmm. What's your win when it comes to a 3 to 4 year old?
Right.
What's a win when it comes to a teenager? Okay,
yeah.
It's not just getting teenagers, because a lot of youth pastors there, the pressure is on.
Get the kids here.
And that's the senior pastor's win. But what is actually the win?
Yeah.
And when you break this down to every area, we're at a young pro camp right now, and these guys are team roping behind us. And even this, at the end of it, has a great big question behind it. Did we win? Everything. It's a great beginning stage that leads to other, from salvation. Our issue was baptism, because if you had 3,000 salvations, but then you come to the end of the year and you have 13 baptisms, and some people go, well, baptism is not that big a deal, and have you defined whether it's a win or not to have baptisms in your church?
Wow.
That's a great conversation.
Because
somebody would say, that's very important. It's in Scripture. Another, the guy in charge may say, hey, we led him to Jesus. Baptism doesn't have anything to do with salvation. But no one's identified if we're winning or not in the area of baptism.
Right.
How do we get from baptism to serving? How do we get from serving into fulfilling the full, to being fully devoted followers of Christ?
Right.
this is a bigger deal than just a quick little statement.
It very much is. And I still believe it starts by asking those questions.
We go as far, I get so excited about this. We go as far to hire consultants to help us always look at the wins. I'll give a quick example.
Okay.
Let's get on the inside. We're building a new building right now. It's huge. It's monstrous. We're finally getting the facility that we need. So we're 1 year away from it. We're going to have it 1 year from now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I turned to the staff, set them down, and they call it, Ty always comes in and drops grenades. I hate that terminology because I feel so bad. But it's like Ty just pulled the pin and tossed it in the middle and blew everything up. And I said, hey, where are we going to be next year when we have a building? Are we even ready for it? And it was just like, everyone thought we were building so much momentum because we're getting a new building. But every one of them turned and said, we're not winning because we're functioning off of what we have right now, but we're not building according to where we're going to be 1 year from now. And when you begin to ask, that's a hypothetical win.
Right.
Like, we don't have a building. We don't know what it's going to be like. We don't know what it's going to be like to go back to this big sanctuary. But we've got to start building some concrete thoughts of what it is going to be like so that we can start building our teams for the win.
Yeah, that's your, as a person.
So we hired a consultant.
Yeah, you got to, because as a person who went through a building project in 2004, I was just the youth pastor at the time, but our senior pastor kept saying, we have to build the church before we build the building.
You have to build the church before we build the
building. You got to build the process. And my favorite story of building processes, procedures, and staff before you actually need it is Jim Wideman. Mm. Jim Wideman was, I think, the greatest children's church pastor of all time. He was with Church on the Move for so many years with Willie George. And back when they only had one church van, well, if the children's church used it, and then the youth pastor needed it the next week, well, it was full of trash, not filled up, oil change never happened. And so he created a policy that would last if they had 1,000 buses. And so he said, if you do what you do, like, as you're small, as if you were big, then you won't have to grow when you are there. And so they created these policies and procedures on how to take out the church property, the church van, where everybody can be blessed. And they're still following that same principle today.
Good.
And that's just thinking ahead.
It's cool.
Building the church before we build the building. But as a staff member, by you asking that question, what do you think, because I know your staff, what did CG feel in that moment?
Of what?
What did she feel?
Towards the building?
Yeah, towards the building. Are we ready?
CG always gets a deer in the headlights look. And she takes a deep breath and she realizes, I didn't think about that. And she immediately recognizes if it's a good win and she can see how it's a good win, the staff jumps on board quickly. Sometimes they have questions.
Right.
This is an expensive consultant too. But when you begin to piece together, it goes back to an old saying, you're going to pay now or you're going to pay later. You know, either pay what you need to do now,
right,
or you're going to pay for it later when you're not ready for when it happens. The staff always has those deep breath moments. But over the years, we have begun to recognize we like the win, and we make quicker decisions.
That's good.
Yeah. And by the way, our board is the greatest. The board just turns to us and says, listen, y'all know how this runs. Y'all know this better than we do. Don't think you got to turn to us all the time and ask us about something you already know that our church needs.
That's so good.
So anyway.
That's so good. I really do respect you as a leader. I told earlier when I was preaching to the students this morning that my first encounter with Ty Bean was in 2001. And yeah, I don't know if you remember this, but you gave probably 10 of us your personal phone number. Like, you gave us your house phone?
No, it was your cell phone.
Yeah, it was cell phone, 2001. And you gave us your personal cell phone, and you said, hey, I'm somebody who can be in your life. And if you need me, call me. And that just showed right there. I remember me and Justin Babineau, we were at that camp together, and we drove away going, man, that's somebody who we could follow, somebody mm-hmm. who believes in me as a, I was not even part of your staff. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I always appreciated about you is our, you know, our golfings that we, our golf yeah. outings that he's a golfer, by the way, or used to be. I don't yeah, do you consider yourself a golfer?
Did you consider me a golfer?
I did. Cause I, if, I mean, I play terrible every time we play together, because the conversation matters.
Oh yeah. Right?
The golf doesn't matter. That's always my excuse.
I like that kind of golf.
But I mean, in every conversation I have with you, man, you do care about your team. Mm. And it is a team thing. It has never – I've never felt it was about Ty Bean. Mm. And that's what makes, in my opinion, in my eyes, you are such a great leader because it's not about Ty Bean.
Thanks. That means a lot to me. Thank
it
you.
It really does.
I think you're a great leader.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah. I just facilitate.
No, this is awesome.
Well, thank you. I know people are like, do you really need all this for this podcast? And yeah. Yep,
I wonder what they're thinking down there.
They have no idea. They think we're on a TV show.
They can't even see it. I wish you could see it.
Yeah, they can't. I mean, people are all down there. Awesome. Well, hey, thanks for being on. Let me know if you need something.
Yeah, you as well. Very, very proud of you. And I love leadership. Absolutely love it.